The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 29 in our Revelation series. This message is called, Is the Rapture Real? We will read Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will stop there. Revelation 19 tells of the second coming of Christ. There's no place before here where we see in the book of Revelation a time where Jesus comes to the earth. In this study, we will look at all the places in the scripture that seem to suggest that there is a rapture. And as we look at them more closely, we will discover something very different. Although I honor many of those who teach a pre-tribulation rapture, I do not agree with their findings or their reasoning. If Jesus came at the beginning of the tribulation period, that would make this event the third coming of Jesus. And there is no third coming of Christ in the scriptures. Before these verses in Revelation 19, there is no account of Christ's second coming. Neither is there any record in scripture, in the whole of the Bible, where Jesus comes into the clouds and then takes his people away to heaven. We do read that he comes into the clouds and we shall be with him forever, but it doesn't say that we go back to heaven. In fact, he is on his way down to earth. In this chapter, we will look at the verses that refer to Christ's second coming and point out that he comes at the end and not the beginning of the great tribulation. We will further see that when he does come, Jesus will appear in the clouds, and then he will descend and stand on the Mount of Olives. The scripture says that Christ must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore all things. And the restoration of all things doesn't happen at the beginning of the tribulation. That's when things are about to fall apart. The restoration of all things happens at the end of the tribulation, just before the new millennium. So we read in Acts chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. It says, he may send the Christ who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything he has promised. Let us now investigate the scriptures that teach or that teachers use to say there is a pre-tribulation rapture. This is important for us to understand so that we will be prepared for the great tribulation. If we think there is a pre-tribulation rapture, we will be out of step with the end time purposes of God. In fact, fear will grip our hearts as we enter this time period with all that is happening. And we will not be able to participate with the Lord as we should. First of all, then, let's talk about the last trump. Revelation records seven trumpets, which are blown by the angels. The return of Jesus will happen during the days of the blowing of the seventh trumpet. That's the last trump. The coming of Jesus and the resurrection of the dead are the mystery of the seventh angel, as foretold by Old Testament prophets. Do you remember what we read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7? This is what it says. In the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophet. The second coming of Christ comes at the last trump. It's also recorded in 1 Corinthians. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 and then verse 51. It says this, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Some say that at the second coming, Christ will return in the air, that he will resurrect the saints and then go back to heaven. Then he will come back at the sound of the last trump. This cannot be true, for Corinthians tells us that the resurrection happens during the days of the last trump. It is clear that the second coming, the resurrection, and the last trump all happen at the same time. It says, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead will be raised. John wrote in Revelation 19, verse 14, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies of heaven will descend with Christ at the second coming. We read about it in Jude chapter 14. The armies of heaven include humans, angels, and seraphims. And they are the armies of heaven. And they will be all riding on white horses. Humans without bodies. 24 elders as well. Myriads of angels and mighty seraphim and cherubim riding on white horses just alongside or behind their leader Jesus, who is also riding on a white horse. We read about this also in Jude verse 14 and 15. It says, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied, "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done." The seventh generation from Adam. Think how long ago that was. And this coming of Jesus with all the armies of heaven coming as well were prophesied back then. As Jesus breaks into earth's atmosphere, the dead bodies of the saints will stir in a twinkling of an eye. That's a nanosecond in modern terminology. In a nanosecond, they will wake from sleep. Body parts will come together and lift into the sky. The God of creation who formed the first man from the dust will do it again. Human molecules that have been dispersed into the environment will fly from hidden places until they find their initial host body. Bodies will come together and then receive an instant upgrade. They will become perfected. They will rush with lightning speed to meet their souls and the spirits that ride toward them from heaven on supernatural horses. This is how the Bible describes the scene. We read of it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. It says, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep or died in him. We who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or already died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. The Lord will return. The dead will be raised. Believers who are still living will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And from that time on, they will remain with the Lord. The question is, where will the Lord be going? We will soon see that he will not return to the throne room in heaven at this time, but will come down to the earth. That is why he has an army with him. They are coming to receive their bodies. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, and they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It is no mistake that this resurrection that takes place at the end of the tribulation is called the first resurrection, because there isn't one that includes such a vast multitude of billions of people with this scope like this before this time. This is the first resurrection. Paul wrote the saints in Thessalonica because they thought they had missed the second coming. This is what Paul said to them. We read of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 8. Paul says, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose God, proclaiming himself to be God. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. The Lord Jesus will overthrow him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This scripture is about the second coming. And Paul exhorted the saints not to be alarmed. They had not missed the coming of the Lord. He told them that Christ will destroy the Antichrist, the beast, when he comes. We know that the Antichrist is destroyed not at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, but at the end of it. Therefore, the second coming is not at the beginning of the tribulation, but at the end of it. Furthermore, Paul explained that Christ will not come until after the Antichrist is revealed. We have learned from our studies that the beast, the Antichrist, isn't revealed until halfway through the Great Tribulation. That we discovered in Revelation 13. He is the beast, the lawless one who was alive but was restrained in the abyss back in Paul's time. But in the Revelation, he will be released. Then he will appear with a false prophet to deceive the nations. Paul said that only after this happens will Jesus return. He will then destroy the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth. We read about that in Revelation 19 and verse 20. Do you see it there? It says, but the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, He had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. So Paul said that when Jesus comes, he will destroy the beast with the splendor of his coming, with the breath of his mouth. And here we see it, not at the beginning of the book of Revelation, but at the end. When Jesus comes, he casts the beast and the false prophet alive into the lake of fire. Another amazing detail in this scripture reveals information about the second coming. Paul told the church not to be alarmed because they might have received a supposed letter from him saying that Christ had already come. He said, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter that has come from us saying that the Lord has already come. Now, if Christ had come and taken Paul to heaven in a rapture, how could he supposedly have sent a letter to the saints in Thessalonica? He said, don't be alarmed if you receive some letter from us. See, there's no postal service in heaven. That means that the theology of the early Christians was that when the Lord came, they would get immediately caught up into the air, but in a flash be back on the earth again, only with a transformed body. Then Paul could have sent a letter. So that is the only way that that explanation fits. When Jesus does come into the clouds, and we instantaneously will be changed, the dead shall be raised, the Bible says that Jesus will land upon the Mount of Olives. If you go to Jerusalem with us, we will take you to the Mount of Olives. And all around the side of the Mount of Olives, facing the Temple Mount, the whole side of the Mount of Olives is filled with tombs, Jewish tombs, because they've read what it says in Zechariah chapter 14. It says, then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley. So the Jewish people read this scripture. It's in their Old Testament. It's in their Bible. It's Zechariah 14. They don't know it's Jesus. They think it's just Messiah. But they're not convinced that Jesus is Messiah. But they believe that when Messiah comes, two things will happen. First, he will come and the dead in Christ shall be raised. And secondly, he will put his feet down on the Mount of Olives. So they put all their tombs on the Mount of Olives. They want to be first in line. It is an object lesson if you go to Israel and see all those tombs on the Mount of Olives, and it debunks the rapture theory because it says that when Jesus comes and resurrection takes place, then he comes down to earth and doesn't fly back away into heaven. That is the teaching of the Bible. Then we look at this other portion of scripture about two in the field and one taken and the other left. When Jesus comes back, there will be one taken and another left. We read about this both in Matthew and in Luke. In Matthew 24, verse 37 to 41, this is what we read. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. It's easy and obvious to see from this scripture that one is taken and the other is left. But which one is taken? That's the question. This scripture says it will be like it was in the days of Noah, when the judgment came and the sinner was taken away in the flood. The sinner knew nothing about the flood until it took them away. If the coming of the Son of Man will be as it was in the days of Noah, then the sinner will be taken away in the judgment. The sinners will know nothing until the fire of the Lord comes and takes them away. The saints, of course, will know all the details of what is happening. They will be in step with him. There is another parable in the scripture that parallels this. We read of it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 27 to 30. And it says that the sinners will be taken and the saints will be left as well. This is the story of the wheat and the weeds. It says, the owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to pull the weeds up?" He says, "No, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds." What did he say? First collect the weeds. Let me say it to you really clearly. First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Notice the weeds were taken first. The wheat represents believers, but the weeds represents the evil people. The harvesters are the angels. The weeds are pulled up first to be burned in the fire. As with the story of Noah, the ones that are taken away are not the saints, but they are the sinners. One is taken and the other left. Means that the sinners, the weeds, will first be taken. They will die when Jesus comes. And their spirit will be taken away. Their bodies will be left on the ground, but their spirit will be taken away and put in Hades to suffer its fire. And then the wheat will be gathered for the new millennium and the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the second coming, the soul of the sinner is taken away, and the one left is the believer. This is another amazing detail. If we read in Luke 17, verse 34 to 37, it says this: "On that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left." The disciples said, "Where, Lord?" He replied, "Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather." Where one will be taken, there is a dead body left behind because the spirit is taken. And that's where the vultures will come. This is not only recorded in the Gospels, in the teaching of Jesus. It's exactly what happens in the very next verses of Revelation 19. Do you see what it says in Revelation 19, verse 17? It says, "And I saw an angel." This is after the coming of the Lord. It says, "I saw an angel who cried to all the birds, 'Come, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, and all the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great.'" So the birds, the vultures, are called to come. This is also recorded in Ezekiel chapter 39. And again, we read it in another portion in Matthew 24, verse 26. It says, "So if anyone tells you, 'There he is out in the desert,' do not go out. 'Here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east, is visible in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there will be a carcass, there the vultures will gather." It is clear at the time when Christ comes, one will be taken and the other left. And the dead body will remain there when that person is taken, and the vultures will come and eat it. The decaying bodies will become flesh for those birds. So, what can we say about all of these things? We discover that the Lord comes at the end of the tribulation period. There is one other scripture that people who believe in a rapture use, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, and then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. And it seems to suggest that God will not let his people go through the great tribulation. This is what we read in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. It says, Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, it says, but God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because these two verses say that God is going to rescue us from wrath and did not appoint us to suffer wrath, many people say, well, there you go. See, we won't be going through the wrath of the great tribulation. Actually, the word wrath here in the Greek in Thessalonians is the word orge. And the word used in the book of Revelation is a different word. When it talks about the seven bowls of wrath, it's the word thumos. But we cannot simply choose to say that the wrath mentioned here that we will be rescued from refers to the great tribulation. It can mean two things that are very clear. One is that when we go through the great tribulation, the Lord will protect his people and save them from certain judgments. Secondly, I like that 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, it says, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. So this is the wrath of hell. He says, God did not appoint us to go to hell, but he appointed us to salvation. The wrath that is mentioned there is hellfire. Let's sum up all that we have said so far. In summary, this we found out. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. The saints are not lifted into the sky at the beginning of the tribulation period so that they would escape this time. God wants them there for his purposes as missionaries of the gospel and ambassadors of heaven. And there are 12 things that we have just looked at, 12 points that tell us there is no pre-trib rapture. First, Jesus comes in the book of Revelation in the 19th chapter, not in the first chapter. So the book of Revelation doesn't show a pre-trib rapture. Secondly, Jesus comes at the last trump, not sometime before the first trump. The last trumpet is blown at the end of the tribulation period. And we know that Corinthians says that he will descend from heaven at the last trump. Thirdly, Jesus must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things begins. We read that in Acts chapter 3, verse 20. The beginning of the tribulation is not a time when the restoration begins. It's a time when everything is about to fall apart and the wheels are coming off. And the judgments are going to get worse and worse and worse until the planet is almost uninhabitable. And it's not until after that that the restoration begins, when the Lord produces a new heaven and a new earth. So Acts 3:20 says Jesus must remain in heaven until the restoration begins. The fourth point that tells us there is no pre-trib rapture is in that scripture that tells us that Jesus comes after the moon turns to blood. We read about that in the book of Acts chapter 2, that the moon will turn to blood before the coming of the Lord. And we read about that several times in the book of Revelation, that the moon turns to blood. It talks of the persecution of the church. The fifth point that tells us there is no pre-trib rapture is that Jesus comes and destroys, or he comes sometime after the Antichrist is revealed. Paul taught that. He says the Lord won't come until the lawless one is revealed and the great rebellion comes. So that happens starting in Revelation 13 when the Antichrist is revealed and the beast calls the people of the world to worship him. It happens halfway through the tribulation period. And Paul says Jesus won't come until after that. The sixth point is there is no mention of Jesus taking people away to heaven, only that we will be with him. When it says that the Lord will descend from heaven and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord, that doesn't say that we go away to heaven. It says that we meet him in the air and we're going to be with him. So wherever he goes, that's where we go. And where's he going? That's the big question. We know he's coming down. The seventh point is, when Jesus comes, the Antichrist will be killed by the breath of his mouth and the splendor of his coming. It's clearly shown that that happens in Revelation 19 at the end of the Great Tribulation. The eighth point is that Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives when he comes. On his way down, the dead are raised, and then his feet touch the Mount of Olives. Well, there's a war going on. And that happens at the end of the book of Revelation. The ninth point that tells us there is no pre-trib rapture is this story about two in the field or in the bed or two grinding at the meal. One is at the mill. One is taken and the other is left. It says, as in the days of Noah, when the judgment came, the sinner was taken. And so we know that when Jesus comes, the sinner is taken. That doesn't happen at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. It happens at the end of the Great Tribulation. The sinner is taken away and he remains in Hades for another 1,000 years. That happens at the end of the Great Tribulation. The 10th point that tells us there is no pre-trib rapture is the parable of the wheat and the tares tells us that the weeds, the sinners, are taken first. And that happens again at the end of the Great Tribulation. The 11th point that we looked at says that when Jesus comes and one is taken and the other left, there will be vultures eating dead people. And that happens in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. It says that the Lord destroys the wicked people and then calls for the birds of the air to come and eat their flesh. The disciples said, where will this happen? Where one will be taken and the other left? He says, wherever the dead body is. So this again points to the Lord's coming at the end of the book of Revelation. And the 12th point that we looked at says that the wrath we are saved from is protection. It is the protection God gives us during the tribulation, and it's a salvation from hell. All of these things tell us there is no pre-trib rapture, but there is the coming of the Lord at the end of the book of Revelation. And Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines, he says, do not be afraid, for these are the beginning of birth pains. What is about to be born? If you've listened through these teachings, you know it's the powerful end time church that is about to be born. Jesus said, don't be afraid of this great tribulation. Protection comes to the saints. God will use you for his glory. It will be the church's finest hour.